Luke chapter 1, we have been enjoying this year the theme, Bold in Our God. And we can be bold to speak the gospel to people who need to hear it. And there's a little verse down underneath the logo there, Proverbs 28:1, and that verse says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. In other words, when we're right with God, He gives us a boldness. I know in my own life, if I've got some sin that I'm not dealing with, I lose all the boldness. I don't want to witness for Christ. I get chicken. I get afraid. But when we have the righteousness of Christ and salvation, and then practical righteousness when we confess our sins and we're forgiven as believers, then God can empower us and fill us with that boldness. And the wicked flee when nobody's even pursuing. But the righteous can be bold as a lion. Today, from the Christmas account, I want us to look at the boldness of Mary. The boldness of Mary. Look down at Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Luke 1, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Luke 1:38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Father, would you help us as we consider this verse and the verses around it to see, maybe in a fresh way, the boldness that you gave to Mary, boldness that made her a godly Christian, and the same kind of boldness that we need today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, she had boldness for the ways of God. Boldness for the ways of God. At the start of verse 38, notice what Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Now, a handmaid is a servant, right? And it's a female. So she's saying, I'm a lady, I'm a female, but I am going to serve you, God. I am the handmaid of the Lord. That's a good title for any lady in here. A good title for any man in here would be servant of the Lord. I remember when you have the Bible understanding of a servant or a handmaid, you understand that's a really good thing. I remember when I first was a youth pastor, I came to a church and I understood what the Bible said about being a servant and that it was a good thing. And after one of the first youth meetings on a Wednesday night, I was one of the first ones I had, so we had a rip-roaring time, you know, did some fun stuff, and there was paper all over the floor and everything, you know, because we were playing crazy games and all before the preaching. Well, when the preaching was all done, one of those teenage girls, I was just getting to know them, but one of the teenage girls went around and picked up all the trash without me even asking her and threw it in the trash can. And I saw that and I said to her, thank you. Thank you for being a servant. Because that is like a great compliment, you know. Well, she had not been taught about being a servant, that that's a good thing. And she went home and told her parents and they had not been taught. And she said, yeah, I picked up all the trash and then the new youth pastor called me a servant. So the parents called me on the phone. What are you doing calling my daughter a servant? She's not a servant. Well, they just hadn't been taught what the Bible said about it, right? So I want to make sure that you're taught. Being a servant is a good thing. Okay? I'm a servant of the Lord. That's wonderful. Matter of fact, Jesus in the Old Testament is referred to as a servant. And he would come and suffer as a servant and die on the cross. So being a servant is a good thing in the Bible. And here Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She had boldness for the ways of God. Those folks, we had to instruct them and teach them in the ways of God. And they learned pretty quick. But But we all need to have a boldness for the ways of God. This was shown in Mary, first of all, in her sanctified faithfulness. Let's go back and look at verse 26. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Did you notice that it refers to her as a virgin? Now, we know what that means, but I want to point out her sanctified faithfulness. Because here, even though she is very serious with Joseph, she has maintained her virginity. She has moral purity. And God knew it, because he comes to her and addresses her as a virgin. And Mary knew it. She knew she was pure. And when you have that knowledge that, God, I have kept myself pure for you, I have not been involved in immorality and those kind of ways, that is a sanctified, which means set apart, faithfulness. I'm telling you, in our day, it is getting more and more rare for young people to get married and be able to say, I have reserved myself physically for you, my husband, my wife. I've not been involved. Not been involved with anybody else, and not being involved with you until after we give our vows at the wedding altar. Okay, that is getting more and more rare, isn't it? But I'm telling you, it doesn't change the fact that it's right. She had a sanctified faithfulness. God knew it, and she knew it, because she had boldness for the ways of God. Now think about her situation. Now she was going to be with child, and she was not yet married to Joseph. She's espoused, which means engaged. It's more serious than our engagement, but it's still not marriage. Others would probably question her purity. They would be like, here, Mary, you say you're pure, but now you're having a baby. What's going on here? But you know what? Mary had boldness to face that, because she knew the truth. She knew she was pure. God knew she was pure. And so she didn't care what anybody else said. She had boldness for the ways of God. Reputation is what other people think of you. Character is what God knows of you. Reputation is what they think you to be. Character is what God knows you to be. And Mary had boldness for the ways of God. Her sanctified faithfulness, then her simple faith. Let's read on a little bit more. The angel came unto her in verse 28 and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Okay, in other words, what does that mean? Hail, or hello, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. You're blessed among women. She's like, okay, what does that mean? Okay, why are you appearing to me and greeting me this way? Verse 30, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Listen, when the angel told her that, now she understood. She was a good Jewish girl. She had boldness for the ways of God. She knew the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And when the angel tells her that, she says, Wow. I'm going to be the one. The Bible said in the Old Testament that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and I've kept myself pure, and now the angel's telling me I'm going to be the one? Wow. And she simply believes God and has a simple faith. Mary says to the angel, she's wondering how it's going to happen. She wants to know the details. Verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And she's asking, you know, should I get with Joseph to have this baby? And verse 35, the angel answered, said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And then here's our verse. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. See her simple faith? She just says, okay, God. You know, the only place I've ever even heard about this is some of those prophecies. But if you say I can have a baby miraculously by the Holy Ghost, okay, I believe you, God. And then she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and you can read about that in verse 39 and following. And then go down to verse 45, because Elizabeth says this to Mary, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Okay, Elizabeth has God's Spirit come upon her and help her to speak something to Mary. And she says to Mary, you believed, and therefore God's going to do what he promised you. So we see Mary in her simple faith. Then we see her scriptural focus, because now Mary launches into a song of praise to God. We call it Mary's Magnificat, because it's a magnificent song, that she sings to the Lord. And it's actually poetry in its form. And some of that comes through in our English translation as well. But look down at verse 54. He hath holpen, which means helped. He hath holpen or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. You see, Mary not only knows the ways of God by simple faith, but she has a scriptural focus. She says, God, this is just like you said, that you would help your people Israel, you would remember your mercy, just like you spoke to our fathers, Abraham. You said it would be to his seed forever. And so, God, I believe your word. She had a scriptural focus. I wonder today, do we have a boldness for the ways of God? Boldness and sanctified faithfulness, where we say, we're going to do what's right. We're going to live holy lives no matter what everybody else is doing. No matter what all the other young people are doing. No matter what, how everybody else is living, we're going to live sanctified, holy lives. Do we have that boldness? Do we have boldness for simple faith? God, you said it in the Bible. I'm just going to believe what you said and act on it. Do we have simple faith? And do we have boldness for a scriptural focus where we make this book, the Bible, the central thing in how we live our lives? Okay, Mary had a boldness for the ways of God. Now, the ways of God might be new to some of you. Some of you have recently been saved. Some of you have recently started coming to our church, and maybe you weren't in a church that's like this, where, man, they preach about the Bible all the time, you know, and it's kind of new to you. Well, if the ways of God are new to you, you know what you should do? Embrace them. Mary's a young person here, and she's just embracing the ways of God. Just embrace it. Just come to church. Come back Sunday night. Come back Wednesday. Bring your Bible with you. Sing the songs. Enjoy the preaching. Okay, how do you enjoy the preaching? Well, fill in some of those blanks if you want to do that, that are in the bulletin insert. Or get some courage up. And when the preacher says something that you're like, yes, that's exactly what it, yes, that's true. Let that be. And you say, amen. I remember the first time I was like a teenager and I was in a church, and I wasn't one of these crazy churches where I was, amen, 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 amen. And like they're trying to get attention to themselves. And you guys don't ever do that. But, you know, once in a while, the Lord just put something on your heart and you're like, yes. And the word amen means let it be. And I remember I was probably about Emmanuel's age, and the preacher said something. I was like, wow, this is so good from the Bible. Yes, that's exactly what I needed. And I looked around and went, amen. And I was looking around to see if anybody heard me, you know, and if they were looking at me, you know. No. If anybody heard it, they just knew that I was being blessed. You know, in some churches, you know, they clap, you know. I've heard sometimes on the radio and the preacher will say something really powerful and they start clapping. Well, okay. Maybe that's okay, but it just seems like clapping puts it like in the entertainment mode. You know, like that's what the world does, you know. And so I like how our church, we just say amen, amen. And usually it's something where God's speaking to your heart. And if you don't say amen, it doesn't mean God's not speaking to your heart, but that's a way to participate and get into the preaching a little bit. Get into the preaching by responding when God speaks to your heart, not only with an amen, but maybe, you know, respond to an invitation. It's not embarrassing, really. Just say, okay, Lord, I'll go up and pray about that because it'll mean more to you. It'll be a blessing to you. And so just embrace the ways of God. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Here I was, that little 13-year-old. Amen. I tasted and I saw how great it is to just go all out for God and live for Him. And so taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34:8. Mary had a boldness for the ways of God. Let's look at our verse again, verse 38. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Then she said, be it unto me. Be it unto me. You know what that it was? It was God's will for her life. So she had boldness not only for the ways of God, but number two, boldness for the will of God. Boldness for the will of God. She said, be it unto me. In other words, whatever you say, Lord, whatever you say goes. She was signing the blank contract. Now, in real life, you don't go and interview for a job and they say, well, we're not going to tell you what you're going to do in this job. You want a job here? Just sign the contract. Well, what's on the contract? We're going to fill it in later. We'll fill in later what you're going to do, how much you're going to get paid, what your benefits are, if there are any. We'll fill all that in later. You just sign the blank contract. You'd be like, no way. You know why? Because you don't know if you could trust that boss or not, right? The only time you might do that would be if it was like the family business and it was your dad and he said, here, sign, you're going to work for me and I'll take care of you. You might believe that, right? If it's your dad, right? But watch, with the Lord, He's the perfect boss. You know, the word Lord means master, boss, okay? And He not only knows what's best for me and what will make me be most fulfilled in my life, He not only knows it, but He wants it for me. And He not only wants it for me, but He's got the power to give it to me. Okay, I could sign on to work for my dad and it might not work out. But when I sign on to do what God's will is for my life, when you sign on to do what God's will is for your life, you will have no regrets. The only regret will be that you didn't sign it sooner. Now, there's nothing to sign, but the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, sometimes we think that, well, signing the blank contract and saying, God will do whatever you want with my life, that's only for the really good Christians, right? That's what we think. No, that's our reasonable service, the Bible says. It's only reasonable. Why? Because He died for us. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5. So, it's our reasonable service. And Mary understood this. And she had boldness. She knew. She probably is starting to dawn on her. I'm going to be pregnant. People are going to talk. It's not like nowadays where it's no big deal. It was a super big deal back then. But she said, be it unto me. Lord, I'll do your will. no matter the cost, no matter the price, no matter the personal sacrifice, she was bold to surrender, to follow God's will, to pursue the will of God. I like to say it this way, to find, follow, and finish the will of God. You got to be bold to find it, then you got to be bold to follow it, and then some people get sidetracked. You got to be bold to finish the will of God. Find, follow, and finish the will of God, and that's Mary. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you've received Christ as your Savior, He's got a high calling for you. He's got a high and exalted plan for your life. Now, I'm not preaching the prosperity Joel Osteen gospel. You know, come to Jesus and everything will be wonderful. No, but watch. You're going to have problems along the way. You're going to have trials. You're going to have temptations. There are going to be tough times. But His plan is the high and exalted plan for your life. And you will never be able to be more fulfilled than you will be by doing exactly what God wants you to do with your life. And so you surrender. How do you know what God wants you to do? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not necessarily the spotlight that shows you 20 years down the road, but He shows you what to do right now. He'll show a young child, submit to mom and dad, obey them, honor them, do your best in school, take the steps that are right here before you. He'll show that high school person, here's the Christian college I want you to attend. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful, but here's where I want you to go. I was nervous about that. I was like, Lord, if I go to the wrong Christian college, I might not meet the right person I'm supposed to marry. What am I going to do? Hey, God's word's a lamp to your feet. And when it came time to make the decision, since I was totally surrendered, I said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. He showed me where to go, and I met the right person. Were you at the party last night? How many agree I met the right person? She's the life of the party last night. Yes. Anyway. So, anyway, God's will is so wonderful, and the devil deceives us. He makes you think, well, if you surrender to do God's will, then you're going to be sorry, or you're going to miss out, or your life will be a bummer. And all that is false. It's the deceit of the devil. And so there's not one Christian here who should not present their body as a living sacrifice. I think that's done two ways. I think it's a one-time big presentation because it says present your body. Okay? And then I also think it's a daily thing. Because the Apostle Paul says, I die to myself daily. So for me, I got saved when I was 9 years old. And when I was 11 years old, I said, Lord, I give my whole life to you. I didn't know what all that meant. But I just said, Lord, I give you my whole life. And then when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, He started showing me stuff. Good things that ought to be a part of my life. Bad things that should not be a part. And when He showed me those things, I was like, ah. I don't know, that's rough. But then I went back and said, wait a minute. I told you I would do whatever you wanted me to do with my life. So I'll trust you and I'll do it. And then I would take care of that issue that was between me and God. And great peace would flood in my heart and great joy. And I said, man, this is wonderful. And then He'd show me something else. I'm like, oh, now I'm convicted again. And then I get right about that. I was like, yes, this is wonderful. And pretty soon I got to the point where I said, okay, brave prayer. Lord, show me something else that has to change. Because it's been such joy when you get it right, you know. And then He showed me something else. Oh, then I get it right. Amen. And what it was is it's an upward spiral in your Christian life. And this growth just takes place as you got to start with that surrender. But then there's that daily surrender when He keeps showing you things. So I don't know where you are. Maybe you're not even saved yet. Maybe today you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born into the kingdom so you can start growing. Maybe you're at that point where now you could say, all right, Lord, I give you my whole life. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I present my body a living sacrifice. Maybe you already did that and you know you made the big presentation. You said, Lord, I'll do your will for my life. Okay? Well, maybe there's some issues you got to get taken care of. Or you say, you know what? I think I'm right with God. Praise the Lord. Are you perfectly like Jesus? Shake your head. No, okay. So, okay, you could be totally right with God right now. That still doesn't mean you're perfectly like Jesus. So you know what? You're at the point where you say, okay, Lord, be brave. Show me something else. Show me something else. Something positive I could do for you. Something negative shouldn't be a part of my life. Show me something else. And then when he does, surrender it and you'll grow and great joy comes. Great joy. And the Christian life is this walk of becoming more and more like Jesus until we see him face to face. And 1 John 3 says, when we see him face to face, then we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. So in that day, I'll be perfectly like Christ. Until then, have boldness for the will of God. Mary, she knew it was going to be some rough things. People were going to talk, okay? And if you live for God, people will talk. What is he, crazy? What is she, a Bible thumper, you know, and all these other things? It's okay. You just say, God, I'm going to be bold to do your will for my life. Mary had boldness for the ways of God, boldness for the will of God. And then number three, boldness for the word of God, for the word of God, the Bible. Look at verse 38 again. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, the ways of God. Be it unto me the will of God, according to thy word, the word of God. Mary had boldness for the word of God. You know what? Her faith that the situation would work out and be right, her faith was not in the wrong thing. It was in what God said. And God said it through his messenger, the angel Gabriel, told her exactly what was going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. So her faith was according to God's word, according to what God said. Now, we don't have angels speaking words to us nowadays. I think angels are still around. I think they protect us. I think they help us. But we don't have angels speaking words to us. Why did Mary have an angel speaking words to her? Because they didn't have the whole Bible yet. But now we have all the words that God intends to speak. And so we're not going to get any more words from God. We've got the words right here. He'll still lead us. He'll still guide us. He'll still direct our lives. But anybody that says they're getting more words, they're not being honest with you. Or they're deceived themselves, because God said no words are going to be added to this book. And these are the words of God. So Mary's faith was according to what God said, according to a word. What does that mean? Her faith wasn't in self. She didn't say, you know what? Yeah, I get to be the savior, the mother of the Savior, because I've been a good little girl, you know? Santa Claus is coming to town, you know. You're looking for people that are good. No. Do you ever think about some of that Santa stuff? I'm not against if you want to have fun with Santa, but he's not omniscient. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're... No. Okay, that's not true. Okay, so you can have fun with Santa, but tell your kids about the truth about Santa. It's just a fun thing, okay? Or totally toss him. Stuff them back up the chimney and just celebrate Christ. Either way. But don't deceive your kids. Don't deceive them. Anyway, how to get off on that? Mary's faith was not in herself. Our world today talks about the importance of faith, but they say you just have to have faith in yourself. You got to believe in yourself, right? If you just believe in yourself, you can do it. You know, rah, 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 pep talk, you can do it. And then people even say, yep, I've succeeded. I've made, you know, $500,000 because I picked myself up by my own bootstraps. Okay? How many of you have boots at home? Anybody have boots? Okay. Do they have straps on them? Okay. If they do, go home and put your boots on and then grab the bootstrap and see if you can pick yourself up. It's the stupidest saying. It's totally impossible to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's not faith in faith itself. If we start trusting ourselves, we're going to fall flat on our face. We got to say, Lord, faith doesn't mean, oh, I could do it, I could do it. Sometimes Christians get caught in this. I can overcome this sinful habit if I just try harder. I can do it, I can do it. It's not faith in self. It's not faith in faith itself. Some people say, well, I'm not trusting myself. I'm just trusting the fact that I believe. And so, you know, it's like, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. And you just keep telling yourself over and over, you know, the power of positive thinking. And no, it's not faith in faith itself. It's faith in what God said in His Word. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. And so we have to know our Bibles and be in our Bibles and then exercise faith in what God said. If God said it, that's where faith comes in. Faith to believe what God said. So we talked about if we're trying to overcome a certain sin in our lives, okay? It's not faith in myself. I can do it if I try. No, it's not faith in faith itself. Lord, I really believe you'll help me today. No, it's faith in God's word. So what you do is you find a Bible principle that applies to your issue and you get that Bible principle in your head by reading it over and over, maybe memorizing it, writing it on a card, put it in your pocket or purse, stick it on the bathroom mirror, write it in lipstick if you want. I don't care. But get it up there in front of you, okay? So you see that verse. And then when the temptation comes, you think, like Jesus, he said to the devil, I'm not going to do that because the Bible says. Temptation to put something in our body we shouldn't. And you look at that and you say, nope, Lord, you said that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in me, which I have of God, and I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. And you quote 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And you depend upon God's word. You say, now, God, I believe what you said right there. My body is your temple. And that faith is going to give me victory over this. See how it's faith? It's according to thy word. According to thy word. And that's how we know real victory, because God's word is where the power is. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says, the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. From the day that these words were penned, they're preserved and still true. We put our faith in God's word. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means complete. Truly furnished unto all good works. In other words, everything we need to live the Christian life is right here in the Bible. Oh yeah, there could be other little sayings, you know, we'll put little sayings in the bulletin and they can be encouraging, you know. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Okay. Yeah, you can put little sayings in there, you know, and that's fine. But everything we need is right here in the Bible. And we've got to have our focus like Mary. She had boldness for the Word of God. Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Isn't that good? Sometimes we talk about devouring a book. So you have a couple days off at Christmas, and you have this book you want to read, and man, you're going to tear through, you're going to devour that book. Well, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Let's devour this book. Let's let it be the word of God that we need for our Christian walk. Mary had boldness for the ways of God, for the will of God, and for the word of God.
We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.